You got our challenge. That should be my greatest challenge.
Lunch tomorrow.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam. We're in Hilchos Yontev, Perek Hey, Halacha Yud, Chapter 5, Law 1, in the Mishnayim text. What's that? Page 239. Okay. 238 and 239. We now are going to talk about the Malacha of Haitza'ah, of carrying. And what is allowed for carrying, what is not allowed for carrying. We'll start with just a couple of general rules before we get into this. So you can obviously, to eat food, many times you have to carry things in order to have food. You invite to somebody's house, you're bringing food over, etc., etc. So certainly for the need for preparation of food, carrying is allowed. Now, carrying is one of these malachas where we apply the rule of mitov, which means that once we can carry for food, we can carry for non-food uses as well.
It's like for hot water.
If it's for a yom tov need, even though it's nothing to do with food preparation. So let's say you need to take, you have a cold, you need to take some tissues along with you outside. You can do that as well.
And we're talking about there's no eruv.
Right. When there's no eruv.
No eruv.
So it's not really a major problem in Toronto for those who hold of the eruv. But otherwise, there would be serious issues. Now, even if there is an error, there's certain things you shouldn't be carrying if you have no use for them.
As well.
If you have no use, like they're totally mukta, if you have no need for it at all.
But you can't carry a pencil.
Yeah.
Pencil, okay, money, your stereo or your MP3 player.
Your business card.
Your cell phone.
Let's say you got your jacket. There could be things in your jacket that you should not have.
So you should check your jacket before you want it too.
I'm just saying, let's say you've got a list of a shopping list in your jacket. You can't carry that in, no matter what.
So it wouldn't help for a stroller because
yes, it
doesn't have to do with food.
No, we said it's extended.
It's a Yom Tov need to be able to move the kids around. We said anything that is a Yom Tov need is also allowed to carry. So strollers and all those things are allowed.
To be able to carry the Torah.
To carry the Torah. Right, so good thing we have an Erev. But you need to carry the Torah from one place to another. You can carry the Torah. That's a Yom Tov
without an Erev on Yom Tov.
But we have to be careful because, let's say, we couldn't carry the Torah. Let's say... we need to get two Torahs out of the school into here for Simchas Torah. So when are we going to do it? We have to do it tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Can't do it on Thursday. When will we do it on Thursday? Let's say Thursday afternoon. But that's preparing for the next day of Yontif, which is at night. So we couldn't do that. You know, we'd have to wait till at night to bring 10 people over to get it.
You couldn't pull a trick of
using
them. So
that's one problem. A second problem... when are we going to take the Torahs back to the school? You take the Torahs back. You have to wait till Shabbos morning.
And you have to be three times in one location.
I'm not so concerned about that. I'm just saying that there are carrying issues, even and preparation issues. Anyway, but the main challenge that we will be learning today is in a situation where there is no Eruv.
There's one from Golinski's house.
So no, he brought it here. So okay. Even though we allow carrying a yontif, even though it's not for a food need, but still, you can't carry big loads on yontif like you do during the week. You have to do it in a different way. But if you can't do it with a shinui mutar, you could carry it. Okay, so let's have an example. Let's say you're carrying jugs from one place to another within the tchum, let's say, and you have an eruv tchum and all those things, and those are pretty large things. So lo yiviem besal ubakuba, don't put them in a basket or in a box, which is the normal way for carrying those types of things. One second. Even what you need for the meals, you know, you need it for that meal, you can't carry it that way. You put it on your shoulders or in front of you. Or let's say you're carrying
straw
or hay, yeah, for burning purposes or to feed your animals. You shouldn't put the box over your back, but carry it in your hand in front of you. Now, this halacha, so you don't want it to look like you're doing the way you do it during the weekdays. Now, this halacha is only, the portion explained, if you're carrying it through the Rishus HaRabim and everybody's watching you do that. Because then it looks like a weekday activity and people are looking at it that way. But let's say you're in your backyard and you're moving from one spot to the other.
Thank you.
Now, let's think about this. Well, he says, before say it's better to carry a lot at one time. In other words, the whole idea here was to not carry so much at a time. If you're carrying on your back or other ways like that, you know, you're going to have to carry less. So it comes that you're doing it more runs, but less heavy. So the truth of the matter is, but it look, when you do a lot at one time, it looks like a weekday activity, and it's going to take longer for you to do it if you're going to be doing it in smaller quantities. But that's once in front of people. But when it's in the privacy of your own backyard, it's better to take the whole thing in one shot because then you're not wasting so much time on that. So it's an intriguing split over here. On the one hand, when it's in your private domain, we don't mind that you carry a lot. If anything, it makes it easier. You're spending less time on Yom Tov preparation. But when you're going through a public domain, they want you to take more time and take a smaller load. Okay, it's interesting how this is a factor only when other people are observing this as opposed to if you're doing it in your own house, which is a little bit strange, but that is still what they postulate.
If you're doing your own house, you don't have an Erev issue. It's your own...
Well, there's no issues of Erev here. It's just...
It's weekday.
The question is, does it look like a weekday?
Even in Toronto with an Erev, you'd still do it with a Shinui?
If it's a mundane activity, you're doing this to prevent it from looking mundane.
Yes, this would seem to be irrespective of an Erev or not.
Well, why? In Shabbos we don't do things that you can carry with a Shuini. Why would we do it on Yom Tov?
What do you mean you don't do it with a Shuini?
If we can carry in Toronto because we have an Erev on Shabbos, and we don't do it with a Shinui, why would we do it on Yom Tov that way?
But if it's a mundane activity on Shabbos, you would do the same thing.
Well, we take the wagon, we take the food, you know, we don't carry
beer. We're not taking heavy, heavy loads. Talking about heavy loads.
Okay, I took the chairs over to Shelley. That was a heavy load. With the wagon. I should have done that with Shinui because it was a heavy load.
You wouldn't normally take over the wagon, you put in your car.
Yeah.
That was a Shinui.
That is a Shinui.
You put in your car.
Right. Also, a 2-year-old plastic wagon looks
Yeah, that's a pretty good Shinui. Okay, good. Base. The Chayn Maso should darken least on some bamot. And similarly, loads that are normally carried on poles. So don't do it that way. Yisoson al gabo me'acharov. You put it on your back behind you. Ukishadark and lisoson me'acharov. And things that you normally carry behind you. Yisoson al ksev. Put it on your shoulder. Ukishadark and lisoson al ksev. Whatever you normally do on your shoulder. Yisoson b'yodol. If you want to put it in your hand before you. Oh, yifrosayim beged. Or throw a garment over it. That will make it look different. Do whatever it is to make the carrying look different.
So for Shabbos we also do this then?
Listen, be heavy loads.
Well, just like when we're like with the school and all kinds of stuff, we're doing transporting stuff.
Again, I don't think we're talking about such heavy loads. I don't think we're really doing heavy
and
loads.
And using the wagon is a Shabbos way of doing it.
Yeah, no one would ever carry with a wagon during a weekday.
No.
Right, so I don't think, you know.
So it looks like it's a Shabbos way of doing it.
You're putting tissues in your pocket. That's
okay, normal. But that we're talking about heavy loads. That's what he keeps emphasizing, both halachas, heavy loads. You know, you should not carry a piece of furniture on your back. On Shabbos, you know, you shouldn't do that. Okay, now v'mefsher l'shabbos. What if you can't do it in a different way? Let's say you have a lot of guests and you got to give them food quickly, and that's it. And you're gonna have to carry 7 trays of chicken wings from Joe Boo's backyard into your house, right? And you don't have time to make 7 trips back and forth. You're gonna carry all 7 trays with you. Then no, so maybe Kedarka, you could bring it in that normal way of carrying a lot, because even though it looks like weekday, but it's going to cause a lot of aggravation for the guests, so therefore you can do it. But remember, when do we say this though? When are these allowances, Benosei al Adam, when you're carrying it on top of a person? If an animal carries, it's already like similar to the car already. If an animal's doing it, Yavika, you don't bring it at all. Because that clearly is doing it the way you would do it in the weekday.
Not in Toronto.
No, but you see the whole point over here. Now, that is a real weekday activity. Others give another reason, because, you know, you're making use of animals, and we know we don't make use of animals on Yom Tov or Shabbos, because maybe you'll break off a branch and whip the animal, and so we don't use animals at all anyway. Gimel. Ein manhigim es habehema b'makel. We don't lead an animal with a stick on yontif, even though there's nothing technically wrong with it, but it looks like you're taking it to the marketplace. Usually when you take an animal to the marketplace, you guide it with a stick, so people are going to think you're doing business on yontif. Now here's an interesting one. Ben asuma yoytze b'maklo. A blind person cannot go with his stick.
Oh boy.
Whoa. Why? So Gemara says, now obviously we're not talking about either he's not totally blind or he's very clever. They're saying because it's possible for him to go without the stick.
But if he can't go without the stick,
therefore, and he's only using the stick, so he'll have like, his steps will be a little straighter, a little better, but not that he can't go. But if a person couldn't go without a stick, then certainly a blind person could use that.
Or his dog.
Well, he can't go with a dog. Well, there's nothing wrong.
Seeing eye dog.
Seeing eye dog is what I mean.
Right.
They have a harness. And
right,
guiding.
Right. So that's okay. You can do that. Veloha roba tarmilo, and also a shepherd not with his, what's his tarmilo? What's that, a knapsack? A knap pack, whatever?
Pack.
He can't go with his pack either.
Satchel.
That's all the weekday activities. Vein yotzim bekise echad ha'ish va'ish, I'm sorry, lo yotzim bekise. You don't carry someone out on a chair. Echad ha'ish v'echad ha'ish, doesn't matter, man or woman, you don't carry them on a chair on yontif. Why? That's a weekday activity as well. But let's say some of the people need him very much. Let's say the rabbi is giving a drush. I recall it was one time. I don't remember the whole story now. Rabbi Shmuel Salant was very, very old, and he wanted to be mavakar he wanted to give a shiva call to somebody. Okay, so this is the old days. This was on Shabbos.
This is in Yerushalayim. This is
in Yerushalayim. He was very old, very like frail, and he told people he wants to go and do the shiva call, and they said, you're too old, you can't go. It's too far of a walk. You just can't do it. And he was very stubborn about that, and he just started getting up. So they got all nervous. He wasn't going to stop, so they put him on a chair and they carried him. Or bed, whatever, they carried him right through Yerushalayim to the place where he had to go. So that's just, so you see that there are examples of this. So if somebody that they need him badly, then you could do it. Now this is very strange. So what do? Yaitzin bakise achrov. You put it with a chair on his back. Now, I'm not sure, like, whose back. I assume it's the guy carrying him. But, like, in other words, you don't carry in a normal way. A guy puts the chair on his back and carries the guy. I just can't fathom people doing that. I don't
know. Maybe on the shoulders. Maybe.
But that, no, it says Akise Acharov on his back.
Yeah.
So, very unusual. Umotzin also ala kosef, or you can carry him on your shoulders. Afilu ba'apirion, even if he's in an apirion. An apirion is a very fancy chair that's got all kinds of, what do you call it?
Ornaments?
Shade, not shades, material, cloth, whatever.
Almost like a throne.
You've seen those...
The parades.
From the old Egyptian, movies of old Egyptians where they're carrying the guy and he's on this little...
Yeah.
What do you know what I'm talking about.
Coach.
Like a half litter, half chair. Like a little throne or something like that. So you could do that while carrying on your back. Because it's an important guy, you're giving him coverage.
Sorry, Robert, does this apply at all to wheelchairs, or is that not an issue?
A wheelchair has got no other way to walk.
Right. So that's not a problem.
You could use.
But why are you carrying this person on a chair if they have another way to walk? Is it?
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's too far. He has to give a drush, so maybe it's too far for him to walk. So you could say he doesn't have to go. But he's giving the drush, so we need him to give the drush.
So I guess my question is, in the Rambam's time, did they have such a thing as a wheelchair? And what would the Rambam say
about
a wheelchair?
Have a wheelchair.
So would the Rambam say that you can't use a wheelchair either? Like you can't use a chair? Because it seems like it's the same purpose, to get the person from A to B who can't walk. But we can use a wheelchair, I presume.
I don't know, because they don't seem to discuss if the person can't walk.
Right.
This seems to be more like a covet issue, like you want to carry a guy in a chair.
If you go to the blind person, that the guy can't go without his cane, even though you're not supposed to have a cane, he says, take the cane.
Want to take the guy in the chair, but he could go without the chair.
He could go without the chair.
He could go without the chair.
Okay, so this is only if he could go without the chair.
Right.
They have kosher electric wheelchairs now.
know about this?
Yeah, back from that institute with the kosher dimmers.
Because it's like they do random electric currents, and you put a switch, and you never know when the power is going to go on, and it does it, and it
just don't use near a cliff.
Yeah. Okay. Dalit. Ein molichin as
in the middle of a road when it stops.
Shovech. You don't move a ladder for a dovecot from dovecot to dovecot for shusarabim in the public domain. Shema yomer, because people will think mistakenly the sakin gagahu molich. He's doing it to fix the roof, which is not allowed on yomtov. People get the wrong idea. Avol b'shusar yachin molich, but in private domain you can move the ladder from place to place. Even though we have a rule that wherever the rabbis did not allow you to do things because of Maris Ayin in public, you can't even do it in private. That's the general rule we said. So why are we letting him do it in private? So here we allow because of Simchas Yontif. And that's already can answer questions from before as well. For Simchas Yontif, we don't apply this rule in the private zone.
Right. That's why you're.
Hey. Misha lo peiros al gago, guy's got fruits drying up on his roof, which is normal in those days. He's got to move it out of the roof now for reasons that are beyond his control. Let's say it's raining, and it's going to spoil the stuff, or there's lots of guests, and he doesn't have room in the dining room, he has to have them up on the roof. So he's got to clear out all the fruits.
The guests?
The guests.
It's like a veranda.
It's a flat roof.
It's a flat roof.
Yeah, so the guests are going upstairs this week, dear. We have so many guests.
Yeah.
My father-in-law keeps talking about the sukkah on the roof in Aden. So I guess if it's a flat roof.
You invite too many guests for sukkahs, right? We'll put the sukkah on the roof.
You put them somewhere.
Right? So anyway, so now you got to move these out. Now, there's a problem with moving these. So, because you really don't need them, right? Not really, but you need the place. So, lo yishetim migaglagag, you don't throw them from one roof to the roof. To another roof, but filu begage and hashav. Even though the roofs are level with each other, lo yishal shalem bechevel min achalonos. You don't lower them down with a rope through the windows. Lo yirdeim b'sulamis. You don't take them down the ladders. So yask be'ashos b'chol because it looks like a weekday activity again. So what do you do again? A little bit hard to understand the scenario here. Avol mashilam afilu dechavu, but you can lower them through the skylight. Yimakam l'makam b'osagag from place to place within that same roof area. I guess they normally would not take dried out fruits through the skylight in those days.
What's Derech Aruba?
Who? Derech Aruba is a skylight. Derech, by the path of the skylight.
They call it here an aperture.
Okay, what's that?
An opening. Yeah.
Okay, it could be just that's what a skylight is. It's an opening in the roof. I guess they didn't have fancy glass bubbles. Mm. Oh, they just had a hole. So I guess people didn't lower things through that. Was not the typical way. Either you took it down by a ladder or you took it through a window.
Whatever. They had glass in those days. There's no reason they couldn't have had a skylight.
I don't know, Howard. I don't know. Now, shachat behema basada. What do you shech an animal in the fields? Now you got to bring it home. Lo yevena b'mot la'ir. Don't bring it with a pole to the city, a wooden pole. O b'mota, or a little pole. That's the normal weekday activity. Alamavia evarim evarim evarim. Bring them piecemeal, piece. Again, but again, if he's in a rush for guests and there's no time to bring it piecemeal, then he could bring it on a pole. Same idea as before. Well, something that you have use of, pleasure of it, even in a weekday, although you don't have pleasure from such a thing or make use of such a thing on the yontif, can go on, for example, tefillin. Okay, tefillin we do not wear on yontif, but we do wear during the week. So mutar l'shachan l'chayar b'yantiv. You could send it to your friend on yontiv.
Can that be muksa?
Yeah. So I don't understand this halacha. I mean, first of all, what do you got to send it to your friend for? I'm trying to figure out why are you sending it to your friend?
Maybe he needs it the next morning.
Unless you're saying it's a gift. Want to give him a gift?
Wait, is like, like, muksa on like
yontiv? Well, really, I mean, they're muksa in terms of that there's no use for them. There's no use for them.
So why can you move them?
What?
Why can you move them?
So that's what I don't understand.
Oh, okay. All right.
Any commentaries there? Nothing? I don't think there's anything.
Talk about it.
So like of all the examples in the world to bring, I don't know why the Rambam brings this example at all. I mean, we're not a lot of move. Let's say I have to fill in your towels bag on Yantif, you can move it out of the way. You know, because it's in the way, you can move the tefillin out of the way.
But the general
just
statement.
Like on Shabbos, you don't wear tefillin on Yontif. So, like, why would you send the tefillin to somebody? Well, let's see the rest of the
footnote. It says, for since sending and receiving these articles increases one's festive joy.
I'm saying it's a gift. That's what I'm saying. Right. The only way you could say is if it's a gift. You know, I want you to be happy. I'm giving you a gift of tefillin, and just having it will make you happy. You'll see the next examples are all gifts.
But I hear that it's not that helpful an example, but even the statement that precedes it all sounds like it would be problematic. It says, any article from which one could benefit on a weekday, even though one cannot benefit from it on a holiday. That sounds like the definition of muksa.
Right, but if you want to give it as a gift, let's say before Yontif he said, I'm planning on giving this tefillin to this guy as a gift.
Right.
I want him to be happy on Yontif. And I'm showing him how much I love him, and here, so now it's not tefillin to be worn, it's tefillin to be given as a gift.
So could you give someone a fancy pen on Yontif as a gift?
Well, that's
the same sort of
problem. No, that's a stronger muksa. That's like a stronger muksa.
But it fits the general.
Because the pen, we want you to hold the pen, because you might write with it.
He's talking about presents because it says it's permissible to send these presents in the public domain, and that's what he's talking about.
No, I understand, but the general statement says any article from which one could benefit on a weekday and cannot benefit on a holiday.
Let's finish all up. But yeah, in other words, it's something that can't be used.
All right.
So let's read a little bit more. Vein tzarech loma, and all the more so we know it's allowed. Dover shen esim bo b'yomtov, something you can benefit from on yomtov. Kon yeino shmoni muslos shemut l'shachem, wine, oil, flour. That kind of stuff you can send on
Yom
Tov. Okay. Something you can't use on a weekday unless you do something to it. That you couldn't do on Yom Tov.
There goes the pen.
You can't send it on Yom Tov. Zion. Kate, give an example of that, please. You don't send grains. You can't use it in the weekday either unless you ground it. Grind it. Now, of course, it's possible to eat a roast, you know, kernels, you know, without roasted kernels, but that's, you know, we're not speaking of that. That's not the normal way grain is used.
I think a pen's a better example.
So, also, literally, you can't grind the grain on yontif. So, therefore, we couldn't send that. Aval mishalchin kitnios, you can't send beans, mitnashim avashim yontif, you can cook it on yontif. O kola osam, you can peel them, v'oichlan and eat them. You could send, you know, undomesticated birds. You can send them all, even though they're alive. Why? Because you can shecht on Yom Tov, right? But you couldn't send it, for example, for him to have babies. But you're sending it for the purpose of him to shecht it. And all similar things. Again, the tefillin one is still, I don't know, to me it sounds very problematic.
Because
we don't do anything
because
with it.
Like, understand, you can't send the grain because you'd have to do something usher to use it. So send the tefillin, but you'd have to do something usher to use it too because you'd be using it.
Is it maybe like Pesach? Some people use tefillin on Sukkot?
He's talking about Yom Tov. Not Cholamoy. This is Yom Tov. That's what I don't
know. No one puts on tefillin.
You know what it could be?
So what do you want to say? It's a gift. So what are you going to give a gift of tefillin on Yom Tov? Let's say Zadie came from Eretz Yisrael, and the Einichol comes and says, I want to give you the tefillin. Sure. You can't give it to him after Yom Tov.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere.
Like, I don't get it. I don't understand the halacha.
Maybe he's hanging right back.
I'm missing something here.
But, maybe it's something you get pleasure from that's also holy.
And it's something you could use during the weekday. So yeah. What was the other example? The beans. Yeah, but I don't even like the example of that, because the beans you can use on Yom Tov.
Right, they're food.
So like I'm not clear. Like, so what? Give me a good example. Something you can't use on Yom Tov, but you can use on the weekday. And the only one he's got for you is tefillin. You don't have to do anything to the tefillin. Like, you don't have to.
Right.
You know,
it's not like writing with a pen. You don't do something with it to make it work. You put it on, I suppose, but.
But still, you're not allowed. It's usher to put tefillin on.
But you wouldn't put it on.
They talk about clothing that's unfinished as well. You know that you can send the clothing. That's unfinished as long as there's a use for it, even though it's woodwork.
Anyway,
process.
Okay. So the question now becomes, you know, can I send someone a gift on Yom Tov that has no use for Yom Tov?
Well, you always told us, like Shabbos, if you can't
but
use
this is Yom Tov,
give wine or something.
I'm saying wine, all those things you can use, right?
Right.
Yeah,
so let's say they're going to send you a
honey container, so you can use that on Yom Tov.
Okay, so show me something
but
you can't use on Yom Tov. Give me an example of something
flowers.
You can't use on Yom Tov that you can use during the weekday and it's not missing any activity done to it.
A book. Oh no.
Cut flowers.
That you can't use on Yom Tov that you could, I mean, the only, I
a
guess,
secular book?
I guess, well, that's just machloikis. Okay. Some people say it could be a secular book. So I get, you know,
not an article.
Like, it's funny.
A newspaper.
Film is the only example that really,
you
know. What else could you, let's say you're going to give the guy a Kiddush cup. Kiddush cup you use on Yom Tov.
Yeah.
What would you give somebody that, you know, give him a treif animal?
No.
What would a
treif
animal be? You could use it during the week, and that would be a usher activity. So I don't know. I don't get the halacha.
Like okay. A radio or something like that?
No.
You'd have to do something else or to turn it on.
If it's on. Give it to him on.
You give him an on taper?
Yeah. He doesn't have to do anything then.
Not likely. Okay, Ches. Kol davar shemutu l'shalcha b'yantav. Anything that you are allowed to send on
yantav. Randomly turns on and off with
current. Kishlachena l'chavera teshura. When you are sending to the fellow a teshura, a gift. That's what a teshura is, a gift. Well, yishlachena b'shura. Don't send it with a delegation of people. Because when you do it with a delegation of people, it looks like you're going to take it to the marketplace again. Or it looks like one guy's selling, one guy's buying, there's a third man as a middleman. It looks like a business transaction. Now they're going to start defining what is a delegation. A delegation is not less than three people. If you don't have three people, you're okay. If you're sending with two people, that's fine. Okay, so let's have an example. Let's say you're sending animals to your friend. Or yenos, or wine. You're sending three people as one. All, like they're one group. Or there are four people lined up one after another. And they're going in one row. Hareza also, that's not allowed. So Yasek Ederech Shuaisev, he shouldn't do it the way he does it in the weekday. But if Shalach Shleisha Minim Yad Shalach Minyadim Kechad, let's just say three different things, like a cow, a bottle of wine, and a cake. And each one's got a separate thing, then I raise the Mutter. Because usually when you're going for buying and selling, you're usually not doing three separate things. So then it looks fine. Test. Hama'ayr v'ayr v'tchumim yamtav. Someone makes an ayr v'tchumim yamtav. That allows you to go another 2,000 amas. So what's the rule? Wherever you are, right? You know, 2,000 amas all around. But it's not just you. Your animals, your utensils, and your fruits. They're all like you. That's the rule. Where a person acquires his habitation and the area to go, everything that he owns is included in that area. So let's say, you know, theoretically you could have, let's say, another person has made an Eruv Tchumim, an extra one that he can go, let's say, further in another direction, another guy crosses over, but the guy started closer and he can go further in another direction, let's say. That guy couldn't take, Mr. B couldn't take Mr. A's utensil and carry that beyond the Tchum.
Even if it's given it to him?
Well, then it's not his, but I'm just saying, let's say you have your thing and you don't want to give it away, right? I don't think you can really do that on Yom Tov. So let's say, on Yom Tov, you had your thing and the guy says, oh, I'm passing through, I'll take it for you. Yeah, no, but I can't go there, so then you can't take it for him.
It remains the identity of the...
But you only take it, El Vesokha, Paim Amalachal Ruach Vamalkam Eruv. You only take it to the 2,000 Amas in which he has his way to go. Okay, one more halacha. Chepsei Hefker. What if you find something that's Hefker? It was ownerless. Mm-hmm. Now, how far can that go once you pick it up and you're allowed to acquire it on Yom Tov? Harezei karagle mei shezachvam. It's like the feet of the person who acquires them, who picks them up. Even though they may have technically had a further distance, but if the guy who picks it up had a different distance, now that it's his, it goes with the different distance.
Even if it had a lesser distance.
Whatever. The chepsei hagoyim. What if something belongs to a goy? Right? Now it's interesting. So even though a goy himself, according to the law, they don't have this issue of where they can go, right? Because a goy can take some wherever he wants to take him, right? They don't have any limitations. So kainim shvisasim kaimim. So they acquire their own place in their place. They can't go more than 2,000 amas in the place where that utensil is. But what's the problem? It's a goy. Xer is a decree. We decree on the non-Jewish owner for a Jewish owner. In other words, if we see a utensil belongs to a goy that can go more than 2,000 amas, then we think anybody can go more than 2,000 amas. That's interesting. I mean, so we'd be telling the goy he can't move the thing around further than he would want to. So let's say you have a nanny in the house. Nanny in the house wants to take something out of your house a great distance. That could be a problem.
It's probably for your benefit.
What?
It's probably for your benefit.
But
and
it can't go.
And they can't do something for your benefit that you can't do yourself.
Interesting halacha. I'd have to check out. What if the nanny wants to take something
for her own benefit
and go out of the tchum from your house? I don't know.
You gave her something a couple days ago, and now she's taking it home.
No, but if it's hers, then she can take it home.
It seems that that's what he's saying. Theft say goyim. The thing belongs to a goy.
But you found it.
Well, you gave it to her.
No, goy's objects can't go beyond the 3,000 amos because people will start making mistakes. Interesting. I look. I'd have to look in Lamaisa.
Is this you taking a goy's object?
No, the goy.
Goy's taking your object.
Or no, goy's taking their own object.
Yeah.
You could see it working for a nanny as your employer, like another person who you don't have any.
Yeah, but it's in your domain. Basically, it's your domain.
It's your domain. If a goy's got his own life, we're not. Goy's walking down a public thoroughfare. We're not going to say you can't go any more than that.
From your domain.
But must be in your domain.
Your 2000.
Interesting.
If a goy comes to visit you with something they own and then walks away with it, they can't leave.
I guess it must be a goy you have some control over, because we can't tell the goyim, you know, unless he's a
like a mailman comes to your house.
He's a ger toshav, maybe,
and picks up a package and then can't leave with it.
We're not talking about something he brings to you, because it says that you found an object basically at the beginning of this thing.
No, but then it says chefze hagoyim, things that belong to goyim.
Yeah, but we're
that's
assuming,
not found.
Yeah, but we're assuming. I thought that it was a found object, but we.
But either way, if you found an object that belongs to a goy, you couldn't take it more than 2,000 amos, because it's now yours. It can't go beyond yours.
Like, I'm just thinking, a delivery man comes with a package. You won't accept it because it's yontif, and then they can't leave with it. Because they can't leave your house with it.
No, but I think this just refers to found objects. Like, let's say
and
it's
you have
a cross.
To stop them?
Let somebody drops a cross on your property.
But you can't carry it. So what's the halacha? What do you think? The Rambam said you can't carry it beyond your tchum. You couldn't carry it beyond your tchum anyway.
The goy who lost it sees that he lost his cross on your property. He can't go back.
How are you
going to
stop him? How are you going to stop him?
That's fine.
How are you going to stop a goy for that?
It's just young thing. You can tell him come back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just finish this halacha. Let's finish one more line.
After
went out of the domain. The chazan that came back, I feel amazing, even though negligently. In other words, somebody intentionally took it out of the chum, brought it back into the chum. They don't lose their place. It's no different than a person who was taken forcefully against his will and brought back against his will. In other words, we do have certain punishments if people go out the mazid, we don't let them come back in the mazid. But let's say a person was captured and they took him out of the tchum, and then he can't, and then they put him back against us. Well, you're going to say you can't go out anymore. So the same thing, fruits. The fruits, even though somebody was negligent and did it on purpose, can't tell the fruit you were a bad fruit. You can't go out anymore. We can't punish the fruit because somebody did that against their will. Okay, we did half of this parak. Shkoyach, guys. Okay.
No, isn't it really a time? We don't have a problem with Tellus tomorrow morning at 6:50.
I don't know. You better check.
Come to the second.
It's a little dicey.
No, I can't. I'm coming, but I'm working from home. No, but at least it's.
You can work it early.
Yeah, no, because someone will call at 9 o'clock and I'm not there till 10:30. No.
This is a lenient one and it says 6:21.
That's
make
not good.
Make the bracha after Yishtabach.
When you say Shema? Yeah.
They're going to get to Yishtabach at 6:21 is a lenient time. And they started. Oh, you're
6:15.
Oh, yeah.
6:15.
That's not a problem.
Okay,
we're
so. 6:15. Yeah. 6:15. So Yishtabach.
Yeah.
And it'll be 6:30 or 6:35 or something.
Rabbi, I just want to ask you. Just my wife asked me the question. She said I'm not a post-it, so I have to ask you. with Yontif going into Shabbos, you have an oven with food in the oven placed there on Yontif. But you did an Erev Tashlich. You want to take the food out on Shabbos.
So fine. What kind of oven you got?
So
regular,
it's got all modes on this oven. You can put Sabbath mode, which is 72 hours, it'll stay
so
the same.
So you're going to have it on Sabbath mode, I'm sure.
I'm sure it'll be. If it's on Sabbath mode, she doesn't have to worry. If it's not on Sabbath mode, she has
so
to wait
until
the oven turns on. But just goes on and off, but I think she always keeps it on Sabbath mode.
Well, how's she not going to? The thing is going to beep and stop. And all. If you don't put it on Sabbath mode, it shuts off after 12 hours.
Right. No, so she has it on Sabbath mode. So it's not a problem on Sabbath mode.
Take it out
without an issue.
Unless you have something that's not fully cooked that's still in the oven.
Right.
So you have to make sure that everything in the oven is
fully cooked by the time
Shabbos
starts. Yes. Yes. Time to handle it. Yep.
Okay, Shkoyach Menachem.
Shut up, take the recorder.